Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Channel 9 Live at TechEd North America 2013 in New Orleans. It's the last segment. We just saw your buddy, your friend.
So Rusinovich finally got off stage.
Yeah, he finally got off stage.
I was waiting with the hook.
Yeah, you were right there with the hook. So I have joining me today Mark Manassi, speaker, judge.
Speaker, writer, wealthy man about town.
Yeah, just general TechEd guru guy. You know what? I actually have to do this first. We've been talking about this all week. This slap your mama seasoning, right? You know, if I was to actually lean over and sprinkle some of this on you, you would actually start speaking Cajun. It is that good. It is that good.
But no, if you would put this on me, I'd be Jerk Mark.
We don't want Jerk Mark. We don't want Jerk Mark at all. So, Mark, what have you been doing at TechEd, man? What has you down here?
You know, every TechEd is it's like some sort of drug trip. It starts on Sunday, and you blink your eye, and it's just. I mean, granted, it's a day less than it used to be, but still. I feel like I just got here.
Yeah.
And I've been doing talks and listening to you guys and listening to some really great talks. I got to tell you, Joey, I started talking at TechEd in 99, and I'm exaggerating, but I mean, I mopped the floor with the other speakers. It was like Ty Carlson was the only guy, you know? And I mean, now, man, the competition is just, I've just sunk to become, you know, one of the people that can almost speak a little bit and that sort of thing. I don't even know why you're talking to me.
Doing speaker crack, aren't you? You've got your laptop up here just so you can clicking F5. And
by the way, I am number 3 out of 434 right now.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. And of course, I'm going to end up number 2, and Rusinovich is going to be number 1.
Rusinovich.
It was like in Atlanta. He got 4 talks.
Yeah.
I got 1 talk.
Yeah.
I was number 2. He was number 1. He beat me by 0.001. He said, ha, beat you. I said, you had 4 talks. Means that I beat you 3 times, but you only beat me once.
We're not competitive at all.
Not
at all.
You should be at the restaurant. All other speakers are going to restaurants and going, F5. I beat you. So sad.
Is the loser the one stuck with the tab at the end of the day?
No, right, no, I have a line for that, but no, I can't do that.
We're
filter.
We're live, Mark.
I know. No, it's true. You got to remind me of that too, because usually when we're then I'm, you know.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have a panic button, or maybe they do. They just don't tell me.
Right.
And I think that's the key. They probably take me off the air all the time.
Hey, video guys, are we on a delay? No.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we are. Okay, good.
So, first, I want to cover off something that you just finished doing, which is a really, really cool thing, which is Speaker Idol.
Speaker Idol, yeah.
So this is kind of where we've talked about this in Countdown, where basically people who have never presented at TechEd before basically get up over the course of a couple of days, give presentations, give talks. Short, well, I think they're what, 5 minutes?
I think we're limited to 5 minutes. And they get various other speakers to be the judges. And Richard Campbell runs it. Richard's a good friend of mine. And he's always, for years, he's been after me, will you be a judge? And I don't want to do it because there's 4 people and they're often fantastic, Joey. And I got to send 3 home unhappy and make 1 friend. I don't need that. But
so you're not the Simon Cowell grouchy judge?
Well, we had that incident in the 2009 TechEd in Los Angeles. But we won't talk about that, Don Box.
Wow.
No, seriously, you got to understand, if you're a speaker, you are a speaker, you understand this.
Absolutely.
I'm a total applause junkie.
Yeah.
I mean, I am motivated by 2 things. First is that if I can get the people who have bought my books, and thank you all so much, it's like I would have had to get a job otherwise, I couldn't have done it. I've only been giving back. And giving back to me means, like, you know, I don't work for Microsoft, I don't care whether they buy this stuff or not. But if I can show them a new technology, like the talk that I did yesterday about Windows 8, my Windows 8 talk was basically, I'm not going to convince you to use Windows 8. You make that decision yourself. But if you've decided, then there's 25 things you didn't know about that are just totally awesome free stuff. Like, for example, people are very skeptical about PowerShell. I say, really? What about add-printer? They say, what does it do? I say, you can put it in a user's login script, and it will add the printer for the user. Ever had a deployment problem with printers? It's done. They're like, wait a minute. That's running on the user. Don't they have to raise the elevator? To elevate, to escalate?
It's okay,
elevate
Mark. It's all good.
It's late in the week.
It's late in the week. They all understand. They have all been watching for 4 days.
I have had
as well,
nothing to drink today. I've almost done less. No. Elevate to administrator. You don't have to do it. It all runs in the context. And all of a sudden, it's just, I mean, if I can make everybody feel like, you know what? There's some cool things, you know. But the other reason I do it is I'm a total applause junkie. I mean, and we're all that bad, even if we won't admit it. So, But a lot of the talks at this conference and every other one, you know, are being done by people that don't yak for a living.
Yeah.
And they can be boring and whatever. And sometimes you got to pick out the stuff and you say, if I could just touch you with the magic wand mm-hmm. and make you happier about what you're doing, not scared about being on a platform. And so I do talks. I don't know if you remember, but 3 years ago we were in TechEd.
Yep.
And Marcinovich and I did a talk in one of the auditoriums the morning after the party. We packed the theater.
Yeah, absolutely, as you would, right?
And we talked about how to do technical presentations. I mean, I hope we get a chance to do that again because yeah. I've always kind of wanted it. Anyway.
And these folks at Speaker Idol, I mean, these people are not, they don't generally speak for a living. That's what they're bidding for a chance to speak at.
I'm going to disagree with you there.
Okay.
There's a lot of MCTs.
Okay, true. Yes.
I mean, our winner, Jessica DeVita, has
spoken. At Uber Geek Girl.
At Uber Geek Girl. She's spoken at some conferences that I've spoken at. I've never seen her talk because they always schedule me against her.
Yeah.
So it was really it was a real treat.
That's not nice to Jessica.
I
don't
not,
do the schedule.
I'm not putting up with that nonsense. Although
So how do you decide? I mean, you've got and you said it yourself. You don't want to send three people home.
Oh, and it's even worse. Speaker Idol 3, 4, 5 years ago, there would be four contestants. Two really bad, one mediocre, one savable. And you'd get the savable person. Mm-hmm. I wasn't in the first heat. I wasn't judging the first heat, but I was there. I thought I'd go and listen this week. There were three fantastic presenters. And the, in quotes, bad one would have been the winner five years ago. So I was like, wow.
Wow.
Utterly wow. You're like, for example, my friend Aidan Finn, who virtualization people will know, genius guy. Aidan speaks everywhere. So, I mean, he didn't make it, but I'm hoping that next year he will. As a matter of fact, pretty much all of the entries. And that's the good news. The good news is it's not just the Speaker Idol winner that gets in. Stuff's on Channel 9.
Yeah.
Product managers see this and that sort of thing, and a lot of folks have gotten their introduction in that way. So it's great to see more competition.
Yeah.
It's great to see more and better speakers, you know,
It helps push us, right?
It's absolutely true.
I mean, that competition pushes us. So just to remind everybody, you want to do your evaluations for the sessions. Everybody do your evaluations, of course. Mark's going to be here. We're going to talk now, and I want to get a little bit geeky with this, because I was just actually out on the conference floor, and I'm like, so what were you talking about? I'm like, okay, let's get Mark on. Let's talk about this. You talked about networking tools.
Right.
Now, sometimes networking is one of these things that we just sometimes don't want to go there until it's really, really broken. It's like this.
No, I love it. I'm a big infrastructure guy.
Well,
no, I'm big into plumbing.
But we like servers are sexy. You know, fast hard drives and I/O and all of these things, but sometimes we just kind of forget about that underlying core thing that, you know, all that data actually has to move through.
Brother, I think about it all the time. Are you enabled for IPv6 yet?
Well, I don't know.
You need to do that now.
I think I might have to upgrade some firmware in my brain.
Okay.
So,
well, I'll tell you a quick and easy way to do it. Asus, these guys used to make junk. They make fantastic stuff now. They've got a home router called the Dark Knight NT66U or something like this.
Yeah.
You flipped one switch and you got IPv6 in your entire house. 18 quintillion routable IPv6 addresses that no one else has. I have 18 quintillion routable IPv6 addresses in one house and the other house. No one within 100 miles has many of those, and none of my neighbors are impressed, and I've never gotten a date over it. But at one point, I know this will excite people. No, but seriously, that stuff's coming, and we all need to know about it. You know what a subnet mask is, even if you don't do that stuff. The water's always rising. You've got to know that kind of stuff. But what I talked about was, I pitched a talk where I said, what's new in 2012 server networking? And I mean, 2012, it's a toy box. It's an absolute toy box. And I'm serious. There's just so many cool new things. You guys have the SAN. I mean, basically the Microsoft SAN storage spaces. It is essentially, when I explain to people, it's 75% the functionality of a commercial SAN at 25% of the cost. Mm-hmm. And instead of having to send your people to SAN school, they do it with group policies, server manager, PowerShell, all the things we already know. Tons of great stuff like that, and networking even more so. So, you know, in DHCP, one of the backbones,
yep.
You guys moved it to this group in Hyderabad, I believe it was about 7 years ago. They're great guys. They're constantly changing DHCP, making it better. They respond to emails. It's like they use the product, you know? I mean, they're fantastic guys. And they're now in charge of some of the networking, and we're starting to see that stuff as well. Well, for 2012, we got a bunch of new PowerShell commands. That's the first thing I talk about. 100 new commands to control DNS server, 50 new commands to control the DNS client on a Windows 8 box. Mm-hmm. Just amazing stuff. 103 commands to do DHCP. And you say, well, why is that exciting? Well, The first thing that I did was I showed people that there's, we got a lot of new, a new PowerShell commandlets that are like get this, get that, get net IP address, you know, get net adapter, things like that.
Sure.
And people are like, why is that good? So I want to show it to them because for me, well, I like PowerShell because I want everybody to be doing it. Again, this is more payback. It's like, you know, I asked the question, how many of you are not using PowerShell? Put a couple people raise their hands and say, I just want to see who's not going to be here next year, you know? So so let me give you a little example. So let's
okay.
tell you a little story.
Sure.
So for a long time, I...
Uh-oh, your battery's running low.
My battery's running low. This is the fun part.
Yeah, live TV.
Let's amp this up a little bit.
Absolutely.
So if you want to find out the IP stuff, 21 years ago I met IPconfig. It's old enough to drink in all 50 states. It's an invaluable, you know, utility. But, you know, like a lot of us, as it's gotten older, it's got a little thicker around the waist, a little, yeah. little lighter up top and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so Vista comes out, and I type IPconfig/all. And for the first time, IPconfig scrolls off the screen.
Oh, yeah.
Scrolls off the screen. I tell you, it was a moment. There'd been a great disturbance in the force. It was like a million IT pros all cried out at the same time. And for years, I've been begging for IPconfig/no BS. You know, I mean, like, you know, give me an XML file where I could say, I just get this, I just want this, I just want that. You know, but you just and. But then, and I thought, well, let me just teach myself C++ again and learn some, you know, win WMI stuff and whatever. But then, PowerShell stuff comes out. It's last December. It's a Saturday morning. I'm just hacking around on the computer, you know, like most people on Saturday morning. I have no
cup of coffee, hacking around,
All right. And I'm seeing, like, get-net adapter gives me some information, get-DNS this, get-IP address that. And it's just absolutely, it's like, wait a minute. I can use that for the IP and that for the subnet. And this is the DNS suffixes. And I was like, wait a minute. And I heard a voice behind me say, we have the technology. We can rebuild them. And I Googled around a little bit, and I read how to make a PowerShell module. I'm not a PowerShell expert. I'm like a lot of us. I learn it as I need it.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
And you know what? It was dead easy. There's some great TechNet articles. And what I did was I just wrote some PowerShell to grab all the information, stick it in some variables, formatted it so that it looks kind of like IPconfig, and this is what I have. If we can go to the screens now, and it's called get-IP info. Are you prepared to be excited?
I'm ready. Excite me.
IPinfo. And look at that.
It's all right there.
It's tight and it's neat and it just does the job. Oh, it's not just all there. Oh no, hang on. Take a little closer look there. It's got stuff like how fast is your network? So it knows that we're at 7 bits per second and all that sort of thing.
There you go.
It's astounding. I mean, it's just this. And by the way, this is a horrible commandlet. This is a crappy little commandlet. I didn't do a good job with it because it's my first try. It's in one of my newsletters, Newsletters 101. Anyone can have it. The only reason I wrote it was I wanted to try it out.
Yep.
And the source is there, and I hope everybody else will make it better. I'm trying to make it better, too.
All right. What have you done in version 1.1?
I've been hacking around with this. And so this is get-IP. Info 2, and the thing there was that I hadn't had a time to test it. So I was up there in the audience, and I had an audience of 500 people in the auditorium. I figured I'd try it out on the TechNet network on Monday, and you see what it's doing. It's got some information. It's analyzing the network there, but
I think
my app needs sensitivity training.
Yeah, your app needs
that's what the problem. That's hopefully what the answer is going to be, I believe. Actually, I've been banned from TechEd for life a couple times, so I'm just working on that for this one right now. But seriously, it's a great crowd. It was a tough audience because I was up against Jeff Snover and his talk about the future of PowerShell. Like, I want to be at that.
Yeah.
Marcus and Paula were talking about security. So it was one of those worst case scenarios.
Yeah.
But we still got piles of people. I went from there to talking about the software NIC teaming feature. This is where, like, you got a bunch of physical NICs. And, you know, vendors have let us do this. But what's cool about the Microsoft answer is that you could do dissimilar NICs. And people don't get the value proposition. The value proposition is this. You buy some 1U server and you roll the thing in. Mm-hmm. What's it got? It's got 4 NICs on it. You plug in one of them. What this lets you do, plug in the other 3. Turn the bloody thing on. You get better performance. Mm-hmm. Didn't cost you a cent. Now, let's be clear. Configuring it is a nightmare because you can't understand any of it. But that's my job. So I simplified how it worked. We went from there to talking about the new DHCP failover tool.
Okay.
This is fantastic stuff. I mean, ever since we saw DHCP come out in 1995, there's always been that, really, just one server for one scope? Can I put it back up? No, the RFC says you're not supposed to do that. But everybody does the 80-20
thing. It's only the most important, or one of the most important roles.
It's dial tone, damn it. It's
exactly,
dial tone.
Exactly.
And, you know, people do the 80-20 thing. And actually, the DHCP team had an interesting spin on it in R2. They said, okay, if you're going to do the 80-20 thing that you're not supposed to do, you take the other server and you say, okay, only speak if you're spoken to. You can actually say to it, if you hear someone requesting and no one responds, wait 30 seconds. So they kind of, you know, but what these guys did was they implemented an implementation of a 2003 working paper that never went anywhere about DHCP failover. So, you know, pretty nice stuff. And then the one other thing I talked about was IPAM, the IP address manager.
Yes.
And what that's good for is, you've run networks. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Did you have that spreadsheet with your static addresses?
Well, of course,
everybody does.
Everybody has it, and it's sitting. You know, yeah.
And that was
You don't want to lose that spreadsheet.
No.
Oh no.
And that was in the IPv4 days when it only takes a half an hour to type an address.
IPv6
is like. Have you seen IPv6 addresses?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You just look at them, and it's like you're like, I don't know what that is. But there's a lot of colons there, and I know what comes out of colons, you know. So, actually, we haven't talked about IPv6, have we? I did this talk a few tech heads ago, called IPv6 for the reluctant: what to know before you turn it off, and we packed those rooms. So that's my other, you know.
Some of the big questions? I mean, you mentioned you had a tough audience. What were some of the questions
I did not have a tough audience. I had a great audience. I mean, the tech head audiences are the greatest audiences in the world. But I just had a competition. Great speakers. I mean, seriously, I'm going to immodestly say that 13 years ago, I could vacuum out an entire conference where everyone was in my rooms and the other speakers were looking at themselves. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen anymore because, again, the speakers have just gotten
better. What were some of the questions that kind of came up in your session, or what have people been kind of grabbing you and going, Mark, in your networking session, I saw this. Can you clarify something for me?
The biggest thing is, and I hate to sound like a broken record. What's a broken record? But I say these things, and they're like, no, people have no idea what you're talking about. What's the PowerShell stuff? I mean, I'm getting a little more traction all the time. I mean, look, Don Jones is great at that stuff, and Jeffrey Snover is great at that stuff. Jeff Hicks, I mean, all those guys. Ed Wilson at the scripting booth. But it's funny, I can go into a big crowd, and there's 300 people there. And I'll say, how many of you are black belt or PowerShell black belts? Mm-hmm. I get 2-3 people raise their hands. Okay, how about blue belts? Maybe 2-3 more, you know. I'm not going to ask any hard questions. I say, how many of you have PowerShell on your list of stuff you really need to learn sometime soon? And all the hands go up. And so I find myself constantly doing a 5-minute introduction to PowerShell.
Yeah.
And it's, once you get past it, because I mean, can I talk a little bit about PowerShell?
Sure, absolutely. Okay. Chat away.
So people get scared about PowerShell. They know it's something they have to do, right? And the problem is they fear the learning curve. And that is, learning curve's an issue. I mean, like a GUI. GUIs have a learning curve. You don't remember it, but they do.
Yeah, absolutely.
GUIs are intuitive once someone explains them to you, you know?
Yep.
Nobody came up with double clicking. Nobody, you know. Or for that matter, if you're running Windows 8. I mean, a lot of people say, the Windows 8 gesture language is too hard. Yes, there's a couple of techie things, but a big difference between a Windows tablet and an Apple tablet, for example, is that the Apple tablet has a nice, intuitive finger language. Mm-hmm. The Windows one's a little harder because it does more. And so my advice to anybody with a Windows 8 tablet is look at the tutorial. You know, it's not that hard. So again, so our learning curve, watch that first step, that's the first step. But then as an admin, you had to learn some command line tools, mm-hmm. right? Everybody knows ipconfig, everybody knows nslookup, everybody knows ping.
Yep.
Great. The problem, they're silos. When I teach you ipconfig, you know nothing, you don't have any better jumping off point to learn ping. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
No, because it's like ipconfig /all.
Yeah.
Why is there a forward slash? It's like the all's hiding behind something or something like that. What's that slash thing mean? Well, it means it was an option back in the DOS 1 days, you know?
Yep.
And now that we've moved on from DOS to trace, you know, then, you know, things haven't changed that much. But then, so we do ping. Okay, I just want to do just one ping. Let's see. Ping, IP address, that's pretty easy. But then what if I just want to do one of them? That's ping minus N, one, just one ping, IP address. Huh? Isn't ping minus N pig? So, you know, you just... So all of them have that, watch that first step, it's a Lulu. Now, let's be clear. This is why you have me on the show.
That's exactly right.
So, but don't have the tagline like you did the last one about why is DNS like a toilet? I never understood why that connected to what I said. Anyway, so with PowerShell, here's the bad news. That first step is hire. PowerShell commandlets.
So we've got folks at home. So Fabian, I want to hit two of them. So first, Fabian, and this is going where you're going here. I want to talk about this.
Okay.
How much time will it take non-programmers to learn PowerShell?
Gosh, that's a great question.
Because I'm not a programmer. I mean, back in the day, I did some stuff, but then I found networking and I went, wow.
Okay,
so
Fabian, don't think about PowerShell as programming. It's not. PowerShell is a command line set of command line tools that do administration work for you. Okay. And so, for example, in Active Directory, if you're going to create a user, you can click around in Active Directory users and computers, but what if you got to do 1,000 of them? So there's a command, new-user in PowerShell. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is think about the command line tools. They do specific things. That's not programming.
True.
Then you have other command line tools that do different things. To use Active Directory as my example, I have a 75-minute talk where I get everybody started on PowerShell with Active Directory, and here's how. So you got one command, get-ad user. That's going to go collect AD users, all right? And then maybe I've got another command like, remove-ad user, delete ones, okay? What I want to do is maybe I've got to find everybody whose user account is disabled and delete them.
Yeah, a common task that happens all the time.
Exactly. You've done AD consulting. You used to run a big outfit with an Active Directory. You were their AD guy. I'm going to guess, 3 times a year you had an AD problem so bad you're like, I can't click my way through this. I got to write some script.
I got to script it.
And 4 months is exactly the amount of time I need to forget everything I ever knew about VBScript.
What are you talking about 4 months? Give me 4 minutes.
So I got to look at the old stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to Google, all that kind of thing.
I'm the guy who still carries around my scripts. They're on a floppy disk somewhere. If I ever get back into doing IT, I got to get those scripts back in.
Smartphone. No.
I have to update them.
No, the Outlook Yellow Notes.
Yeah, there you go.
No, create one of those Outlook Yellow Notes. They will sync to your phones. They'll sync to your tablets, stuff like that. No, seriously, when you work out a PowerShell thing, then remember it by putting it there. Anyway, let me get this done so we get off here on time. The notion is you got to do a lot of code. I call it the filter and the hammer. Now, that's 150 lines of VBScript. It's 3 days. It's a lot of, oh God, don't break.
Yep.
PowerShell, you find two commands. Get-ad user with some options. Find you the users. You pipe it into remove AD user, enable AD user, unlock AD user. All you have to do is find a couple things. It's like Legos. It's essentially like programming Legos. Now, you glue those two things together, you've done the work of 160 lines. I used to have to research in Google, but the commandlets are easy enough that I can remember them. And what used to be 3 days, I'm not exaggerating, is often 5 minutes. It's a little bit of messing around. Here's another great thing. The filter part, it's easy to test. Get-ad user. If I'm getting the people I want, terrific, but I can't break anything.
Yeah.
PowerShell also, when we get to the hammer, the deleter or whatever, they always have the option -what if.
Yep. What happens if it doesn't, when this command runs?
It's like, if we ran it, what would happen?
Absolutely. We just got a little bit of time. Just really quick, Sardi's asked, any good books to learn PowerShell or places you want to send folks?
There's lots of great ones out there. I mean, like, you know, Don's done some nice stuff. I'm working on a PowerShell Kindle book. I want to keep it under $10 so it can be nice and cheap. If you have a subscription to Windows IT Pro Magazine, I've run 16 columns in the last 16 months in my Power Tools column. But awesome. There's lots of great ones out there. I mean, seriously. But you know, you don't need the books. PowerShell is such an infectious thing that if you use PowerShell, you start blogging about it, and you're going to find some great stuff. Just get on the web.
Yeah, just start using it, because once you start using it, you really can't stop. And I'm very much of the opinion that if you're going to do something once, You should at least try, because chances are in another couple of months you're going to have to do that one thing.
I mean, my talk that I did on Monday, I did my little 5-minute micro tutorial. Go grab that off the video.
Absolutely. Awesome. You can catch Mark's session right here with us here on Channel 9. You can watch all of those Tech Ed sessions. Do your evals. Make sure you do those evals. Mark, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it, but it's always good to have you here.
It is always a pleasure.
For everybody who has stuck through the last 3-4 days with us here watching some really cool sessions. And if you're still online, we've got one more session for Taste of Tech, and we're going to send you back up Mark Rusinovich again.
Oh, yeah.
So the folks at home are going to catch him. For everybody here, I got to thank all the folks that are sitting behind here that you can't see, who are absolutely awesome. Naz, who makes us look good. I think it's time to go. Yo, Naz, take us out.